Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. 7:07 on the clock. Got your host, James J. here. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning.
And we have Seth Habegger with us.
Good morning, everyone.
We got the team together. This is going to be a fun Wednesday, everybody. Got
That's
a lot
right.
of things lined up for you. In this 7 o'clock hour, we're going to do our National Day of Calendar. And the 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. A little after that, we're going to be joined by our friends from Quality Plus Printing with the Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Always want to say that in a Boston accent. I always do.
Wicked Awesome.
It's Wicked Awesome. That is going to be coming up a little later. Looking forward to talking to Phil and catching up with the gang over there. 9 o'clock hour, That Ain't Right Stories, Good Stories of the Day, some entertainment news in there as well. Melissa, how you doing this morning?
Oh, pretty good.
Good. Good to hear. You're in pajamas?
No, I got dressed this morning.
Okay, okay. I wasn't sure. I was hoping you were actually in, but I was rooting for you. I was like, hey, stay in them as long as you can. I mean,
no, good getting idea. Dressed for work makes you feel a little more professional.
That's
helps
true.
You wake up.
Yeah, that's true.
I will say when teaching, when I first started teaching up here and doing it mostly on Skype, I thought I could get away with that, and I noticed that I didn't feel as in tune with the class.
Right.
I didn't feel,
mm-hmm. you don't feel as professional.
Yeah. So now, waist up. Now, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Zoom dress, yes.
What I'm wearing is not necessarily something I'd wear to the office,
Okay. That's good, as long as you're comfortable.
They're clothes.
I love it. That's the cutoff line.
Yeah.
Defining feature.
Good to hear. Good to have you with us.
The real irony here is that I'm wearing pajamas.
Yes,
you know, which is
nice.
Kind of weird.
I thought you guys make. I thought I missed something.
We got confused here. Yeah.
Everybody wearing pajamas to work. Seth, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing all right. Good. It's dark out though. I wish it were lighter.
How'd it go dropping off your boy to school today?
Oh, I didn't actually have to do.
Oh, you didn't
today.
Have to do that today. Yep. Okay. Right.
Beth gets to do it today. Good morning,
right.
dear.
Yes,
have fun with that.
Good morning, Beth. Good morning, Beth. We'll talk to you real soon. She'll be joining us later this week.
That's right.
Looking forward to all of that stuff. I've been back teaching just a couple classes a week, but I'm back teaching. And I had a moment happen last night where a class I was sitting in on. We call it ghosting so that I can, the assistant teacher can learn the class so next Tuesday I can teach it myself.
Gotcha.
And actually train another teacher. So I'm doing that and I just jumped in where, you know, maybe I shouldn't have, but it was too funny and I threw it out and I knew the teacher that was teaching the class and she loved it. But then the students started asking questions. And I'm not sure how I feel about this yet.
Okay.
I've been teaching for about 11 years, and I'm still not sure how I feel about students asking questions. No, I'm kidding.
James.
Whoa.
First, I used, in the bit that I did, I used the term munja, which, you know, used to be, as Seth was talking about during a pregame here, it used to be a much more popular term.
Yep.
Munja, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's as popular anymore, especially when this, you know, 19-year-old student I had yesterday is looking at me like I'm Dr. Seuss and I'm making up words. I was like, well, it's kind of, you know, broken Italian, and it means more, eat up, eat healthy, eat good, you know, all that
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I just said this, so I explained that to her. And as I was explaining it, she's staring at the screen. And I'm thinking she's staring right at me, so I'm getting a little uncomfortable here and everything. And finally she goes, you know, you should just let your hair go gray. You should just let it all go gray.
What? Wow. Out of left field.
Completely out of left field, Melissa.
Oh, my gosh.
For the record, I don't dye my hair or anything.
No, you don't.
And if I did, I would choose, like, the thing that I don't mind getting older, and I don't even mind getting silver or anything like that. Or I should say white, because my hair just kind of goes right to white.
Right.
No silver in between.
Which is cool.
Yes.
To be fair.
It'd be a lot cooler if it came all in at once. It's the patchy stuff that bothers me. I like patterns. I like things that line up and match in everything. And my beard, my hair, it's all over the place. It can't make up its mind. Am I 30? Am I 55? Am I like...
It's called salt and pepper, James.
Yes.
And it makes you look dignified.
Well, it ain't right. It's how we're starting the show. And that ain't right story. You should all come in at once and all in the same color.
Yeah, there's no pattern to it at all either. It's just like, oh, there's a new one, you know, right there.
Yep, exactly.
You can pinpoint them? Wow.
If you could, I don't know.
You spend a lot more time looking in the mirror than I do.
Moving on.
Or having 19-year-olds
make comments about your hair.
Comments about you.
I will say this, though. It is in a funny kind of way. It was almost a nice moment because, to me, little kids obviously have no filter. And I find them to be some of the best to ask, how do I look today? You know, that kind of thing. I actually enjoy their responses to those things, even though they are rarely positive. It was nice to see this kind of, she said this, and you could tell she didn't necessarily, wasn't meaning to say it out loud. And it was almost interesting see like that kind of like bit of that in there with that. You don't see that often, especially the older we get. Most of us become a little bit better with tact and that kind of thing. I don't know. I think that that's a positive for the overall, but I don't know. Not 100%.
Maybe she just really likes The Witcher. And she can see you as that character.
God help us if Melissa ever starts working for politicians. She's so good at spin. She's so good at it.
I'm just happy you didn't come in like dripping with like black hair dye. Yeah. And you're like,
oh my gosh.
Better yet, the class was late at night, so nothing would have been open when I got done.
That's right.
So I like.
So you'd have been like trying ink.
Ink, I'm breaking black pens, but all I get is like blue ones.
So. Yeah. interesting with your hair there, James.
Why are you wearing so many hats?
Yeah.
You got like three hats on. Just making sure. I want to get into our schedule a little bit here. When we are done clowning around at 10 o'clock, we will welcome in our first guest, our second guest of the week for Morning Magazine, second day of Morning Magazine, Wood County Sheriff's Department. That means Sheriff Sean Becker will be with us.
Oh,
looking
nice.
Forward to Sean being in. Always love talking with him. Got a couple of things for him, and he always comes in with a million things to talk about. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Taylor and our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media will be in to record.
Yep.
Looking forward to that. A little bit later this week, on Thursday, we got Wisconsin football coaches show. Coach Jim Leonard going to be joining the airwaves, hear how how the season's been going for him. And on Friday, Wisconsin men's hockey at Michigan State. Man, that feels good to say. Badger hockey on this radio station at 5:30. Our pregame will kick off for that on Friday. Saturday at 9 a.m., our pregame kicks off for our coverage of the Wisconsin Badgers taking on Maryland, hosting them in Madtown. That means that there are some scheduling things that are going to change.
Yep.
The Sunshine Polka Show will air at 7 a.m., so keep that in mind, everybody. You want to get your polka fix, 7 a.m. for the greatest show of all time. Join us for the Sunshine Polka Show this Saturday at 7 a.m. Also means, though, there will be no over-the-back fence.
Correct.
We'll have the show off for a week. That just means that you got a week to get your items together, dot your I's, cross your T's, and still get your items to us, of course. We'll continue to collect them and get them ready for next Saturday.
Fill up the mailbag, everybody.
A little bit later on Saturday at 4:30, more Wisconsin Badger hockey as they are at Michigan State, continuing that two-game series. They're wrapping that up, pregame again at 4:30.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about all this on Monday's Playmakers at 10 a.m. I do want to put out just one other thing, Marquette basketball.
That's right.
I'm so dang happy to say this. Marquette men's basketball going to be on our radio station next Monday, 7 o'clock. They're taking on Radford, that old rivalry of Marquette and Radford. It's not.
I don't even know where Radford is. We got to look that one up.
It's bad when I got to look up a college.
Yeah.
When I don't know where one is, strictly for sports reasons.
Yes.
That's going to be so good. It's so good to have Marquette basketball back on our radio station.
Mm-hmm.
And now that we've been doing this for many, many years, very proud to be able to do this. Big shout out to Civic, to Learfield. Everybody working together to make sure that can happen.
Yes, we
heard from our audience. We know you guys like it. We're going to keep it on our radio station.
Mm-hmm.
Very proud and very happy about that.
And Radford's in Virginia.
Oh,
nice.
Thank you.
Nice.
801 East Main Street, in case you wanted to know the exact location.
Right.
Crack reporter, Melissa
nice
King.
She is something. She really is. keep a reminder out there and spread the word about the Sunshine Polka Show being on Saturday at 7 a.m. Mm-hmm. Let's go ahead and take that note right here. Well, actually, I did have a couple other things I did want to touch on. Real quick, I wanted to mention the United Way Radiothon.
Yes.
Wednesday, November 16th, everybody. Extremely special show here at the morning show from 7 to 10:30. We'll be welcoming in not only United Way people like Terry and Amy and a bunch of other great friends of ours over there, but we're also going to be having on people that the United Way works with.
Yes.
We're going to be able to break down and focus on so many of the key things the United Way does. When Terry joins us and she puts up with me on a Friday or Thursday or something like that, or when we have them on Morning Magazine, we're able to really, you know, kind of get our hands in the dirt a little bit, but it's usually with one or two things. The United Way does a heck of a lot more.
Oh, yeah.
They do so much in this community, and it's not only a great opportunity for us to put a focus on that, but for you guys to be able to pitch in. This is certainly campaign season for the United Way. And in order to help them keep doing all the great work that they are doing, this is an opportunity for you to donate, to invest in your community. What you'll do is you'll make your donation by calling up 715-421-0390. That's 421-0390. And you'll get connected with our friends at the United Way and be able to make your donation. If you would like it on the airwaves, we'll announce it on the air. One other awesome thing about this, and this, I'm so happy we can still do this. Make a minimum donation of $500, a maximum of $1,000, and WFHR will match your donation in advertising.
That's right.
Nice.
So just
throw some advertising in there for
if you. If you're an old business, if you're a new business, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. If you want to, it's all about starting a new campaign, a new commercial, kind of in the spirit of what the United Way is doing.
Yeah.
And not only do you get that, but you will get that bump from us at Civic as far as that goes. You'll also be able to know that you are making that making a strong investment in your community.
Right.
Cannot wait to dive more into this with Terry when she joins us this week. And certainly on November 16th, 7 to 10:30, United Way Radiothon. Looking forward to that.
I do want to quick give a shout out to our higher-ups here that are were good enough to let us continue with that. Which, you know, with a new company and everything, who knows what they want to do, that kind of thing. So I'm really happy they were, like, all on board with this, doing this again.
I looking behind the curtain for everybody quick, I got to know Marcus for a good month, actually quite a while before he actually physically bought the station and was taking over and everything. And so when coming like with the Radiothon, things like that, I had a good idea, okay, Marcus is going to be in on this. He's going to like this. And a shout out to Heart of Wisconsin Media for letting us do the Radiothon that year and being so good about it and everything as well. Mike and Sage, I hadn't even met them. Didn't even know about them when all this happened and everything. So I really was not sure. I have nothing to fear. None of us have anything to fear.
No.
They love these kind of things. They're all about these kind of things. If you listen,
they are all for homegrown radio.
Mm-hmm. Right on. Yeah. And so, you know, this is I think going forward, we can feel really good and positive about this stuff. I don't want to speak for anybody else, but for me, just put cards on the table. I was nervous for the first couple weeks, month here and everything. Not only have they earned the benefit of the doubt, they have shown that they put into their, not only into their community, into their people.
Yes.
And, you know, got to feel good about that.
Absolutely.
So now we'll take a break. Now we'll get to it. Because so we can get back and get into our National Day of Calendar. It's Melissa, Seth, and James here with you on Mornings at WFHR. Thanks a lot, Jennifer. Shout out to our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. They'll be joining us in the 8 o'clock hour. Catch up with Paul, I believe. Paul will be with us. Looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time for us to dive into our National Day of Calendar for this November 2nd, 2022. And first up, National Deviled Egg Day.
Oh, I love this day.
Yeah.
They're my favorite.
I love them, too. I do.
All right, we're going to fight over those at the party.
That's right. I'll tie those deviled eggs.
Christmas party going to get interesting all of a sudden. That's what I think of when I think of deviled eggs. I think of Christmas parties and stuff. That's really one of the few times. I guess maybe summer. Maybe in summer. Yeah.
For me, it's always Easter. Easter is always a big one for eggs, for deviled eggs, because you already have the eggs.
The week afterwards.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't wait too long.
I have had one deviled egg in my life.
Really?
What?
Yep.
One?
Yep. That's it. No, not my thing. Not my thing.
I was going to say, I was going to ask you how you liked it. Okay, now I understand.
No.
You only had the one.
I will be out of the way. You two can fight over them.
Okay. We'll take them.
I do hear that they're good for you. I do hear a lot of people, most of the people that I know. In fact, everybody I know loves them. I think I'm the only one.
Eggs are good for you. I don't know if deviled eggs are good for you because
There's some other ingredients
eggs
in there.
Mayo, basically.
More eggs.
Yep. Eggs, more eggs and mayo.
Yep, there you go.
And seasoning. But there's a lot of different recipes and a lot of different ways you can make deviled
eggs. It's true.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes sense. I guess I never thought of that.
The kitchen might be open for that topic. Yeah,
it might be. Maybe.
It's Wobbly Wednesday. Nystagmus. I don't believe I'm saying that right. Nystagmus or Nystagmus?
Nystagmus. I have no idea how to say that either.
Nystagmus is characterized by involuntary movement of the eyes, symbiotic of problems with the visual pathway. Causes varying degrees of sight impairment. Nystagmus is often a genetic condition and may be associated with albinism. Ain't even 8 a.m. Come on, guys. Can we just simplify
all these medical
this?
Words, man?
Can we simplify? But this can also be caused by a number of medical conditions, such as cataracts, glaucoma, a number of different things, eye conditions.
Right.
Wobbly Wednesday is your opportunity to learn more about the limiting condition. Nystagmus affects 1 in 1,000 people. It is a form of visual impairment and can occur at any time of life.
Mm.
So great. Just one more thing we was not on our radar, but now how many of us
got to worry about it now?
Every time my eye twitches or something. Yep.
Wobbly. Your eye's going wobbly on you.
I am.
But it's actually pronounced nystagmus.
Nystagmus.
Thank you.
Knew I was mispronouncing it. Nystagmus. And in all honesty, I'm always the type of person that would rather know than not know.
Yeah.
If I've got a condition, if I've got something going on.
Yeah.
I'm not running to the information. I'm not looking forward to it, but right. I would rather know than not know.
Exactly.
Well, because there are some things that by knowing about them, you can, mitigate the symptoms or the outcomes or do something about it to make it better.
Yeah, I know of a number of people who were not able to afford to get monthly or yearly checkups, and they end up getting cancer and not catching it early on enough when they could have prevented it.
Yeah.
So I'm not talking about that, but as far as able-bodied people with insurance and all that stuff, I can't think of anything sillier than getting taken out by something you could have prevented.
Yeah.
Or you could have worked on. I'm speaking for myself strictly. That's it. I don't know. I agree with you, Melissa. I think, it's much better to find out. Eating healthy day.
Is this a bad time to tell you guys I got a piece of pie covered in Cool Whip next to me?
Depends on what kind of pie.
I also have a banana, to be fair.
There you go.
And my coffee is cherry-flavored decaf. So, I feel like this is a good balance.
I mean,
it's got colors, fruits involved.
I think that, Melissa, you're doing breakfast right. You got a little bit of fun
well,
in
is,
there.
This is second breakfast, James.
Oh, nice. Right on.
She's
right
a hobbit. On. I didn't know that.
That's awesome. Second breakfast sounds like one of the greatest sentences in the world to me. I love breakfast. That sounds great. It's no eating healthy day. It's no secret that your diet plays a vital role in your overall health and your ability to recover from injuries and illness. Every year, we find more and more that what you eat can have dramatic effects on the quality of life, and every food choice can have lasting repercussions that stay with you throughout the years.
Mm-hmm.
Eat Healthy Day was established to remind people of the importance of managing their diets and to stay aware of what they put in their bodies.
Yeah.
Pretty self-explanatory.
It is.
Yeah. It's important.
I don't see a reason to fight against this one. How dare they make me?
I think we all know that eating healthy is good for us.
Yeah, I think we all do. Yeah.
It's now, there's no excuses anymore. That's the thing that I've noticed about this, is that now, and strangely enough, I'm not talking about myself here, but it is harder than ever to, eat unhealthy if that's all you want to do.
Right, right.
There's plenty of options, don't get me wrong there.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as knowing what you're intaking, knowing what you're eating, it's not uncommon to look at the labels or to research a product or if you want to research a product now, it's all at your fingertips, these things.
That's very true.
Yeah.
So now it's a little bit more conscious that you're doing it. I think many of our, really our generation, all three of us and everything, it was one of those things that, that you heard people talking about it, but the legwork wasn't getting done. You had Richard Simmons and Suzanne Summers and their workout programs and all these things, and there was a push towards taking care of ourselves, but we weren't looking at what we were putting in necessarily.
Yeah,
it was shortly after that the food pyramid changed for the first time, and now I think it's an oblong. I'm not sure what it is now. it keeps growing because the information.
Lots of colors.
Yes. The information keeps growing.
Yes.
So, you know, evolving, really. It's not so much changing as it is evolving with these things in modern times.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Dynamic Harmlessness Day.
Okay. Please explain.
Yeah. Dynamic Harmlessness Day is a holiday dedicated to the life of Joy Dinesh, the founder of the American Vegan Society. Dynamic harmless is a harmlessness is a term used by people who practice nonviolence and is coined by Jay himself. If you have ever wondered why vegans choose the diet they choose, then this is the concept that brought them to veganism. So let's learn more about that, what dynamic harmlessness is about, and to see how you can start practicing it in your daily life.
Okay. Interesting.
Dynamic harmlessness is based off of the term asthma, A-H-I-M-S-A, asthma. And it means non-harming. Gotcha, while the term originally had negative connotations, such as thou shall not, aspect upon it, it wasn't until Mahatma Gandhi changed the meaning of the term, stressing a more positive light on the idea of constructive action. That latter part, constructive action, is something that I've read of Gandhi before, but the rest of this is a little newer to me.
Interesting, yeah.
Here's my thing about any of this stuff. I'm not telling anybody ever what they should or shouldn't eat, but I don't think in understanding the information or learning about it is a horrible thing. Why vegans do what they do, you know, eat veganism, all those things. I think that it can actually be a benefit. You know, you may find things that you enjoy more or try different, add new foods into your diet.
Right.
I don't see any negative of learning about it at the very least.
Right. You don't have to. It's not like you have to jump in all of a sudden into being a vegan, a full blown vegan. But you can, you know, take some of the things that they've learned, and you can incorporate some of that stuff into your own life. And then who knows what you'll find out? I mean, that's one of the great things about learning is that you can always find out, you know, stuff that, you know, maybe pertains more to you than other things. So
correct. And if this is just, it's about promoting non-harm.
Exactly.
When it comes to what people consume, we could talk about, you know, some of the situations in, let's say, the really big corporations that do animal processing.
Mm.
We've seen some pretty horrible things about that.
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
It's worth taking a look at and examining what we do and why we do it and how we could change it so that it's better for the animals and it's better for the people consuming the animals.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are always going to be people who want to eat meat.
Let's absolutely. I think you're right. Yes. And I think there's
it's
ways.
It's not something that's ever going to go away. But there are better ways to do it.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say, is that we do not need these large industrial farms. We do not need 85% of our meat going through one company kind of thing. We don't need that, because this is how. I was just listening to a podcast yesterday about food poisoning. And how having, you know, cross contamination now with these giant facilities that have like vegetables and fruit grown so our agriculture next to livestock, and how that can lead to really bad cases of E. coli, Salmonella, that kind of stuff. So even that kind of just simple food poisoning safety, I mean, that has something to do with it too. Yeah, exactly.
I will add, only piggyback off of that I believe farmers need a better, more help when it comes to with a lot of this stuff.
Absolutely.
More support.
Yes.
Much more support, much more financial help in those things. Certainly much more help from society even. Society caring about farmers, for God's sake.
Right. Yep. The small family farms, we need them.
We do.
They're very vital and important, especially in the Midwest, in Wisconsin.
It's one of the things that gets mucked up with all, no pun intended, with all this talk about water quality.
Right.
Water quality is important, but there are so many people who just want somebody to blame when it comes to water quality. And, like, it's important to know that stuff because we don't want to keep making the same mistakes, obviously.
Exactly.
But that only gets you so far. Mm-hmm. Pointing the finger, you just got three more pointing right back at you.
Yeah,
I mean, and you know, you weren't. How much did you care about this? How much were you doing about it before you realized it was a problem? Because that's what those people, not just farmers, but everybody that is, you know, got blood on their hands when it comes to this subject.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things. Yep. Let's see, one more here: National Stress Awareness Day. God, I almost forgot.
I almost forgot this one.
It's crazy.
Stress awareness. Oh, great. Now I'm thinking about my stress. Thanks a lot. Oh, Stress Awareness Day.
You know, it's not a bad thing to be conscious of.
Stress can be a real killer, both in the workplace and in the busy day-to-day life of each person on Earth. While stress certainly serves a solid purpose in human biology, it is also true that modern life has brought about a surplus of causes that haunt people from day to day. And the impact has been, for some people, rather catastrophic. I can say catastrophic, but I can't say... When humans are faced...
The mystery of the human tongue. Yes.
When humans are faced with a challenge or a threat to their well-being, the body experiences stress. By design, this was a good thing to notify and equip the brain to sense and respond to danger.
Correct.
This is the kind of thing I'm talking about when I talk to students. I talk about this on the air, and I say stress, anxiety, all these things. These are terms that we gave them. That doesn't mean that it's all they are capable of. That's all they can do. I am one that believes that some fear, some anxiety can be a good thing. Before I turn this microphone on, before I go on stage, every single time I've been a little stressed, a little nervous, a little unsure of myself. It makes me engaged. It keeps me caring. It keeps my adrenaline up. I don't think those are bad things. I think it makes me good at my job. Right. I'm more worried about the day I don't have these things. And how am I going to be then? Will it, you know, do I need this thing or do I not? Maybe it would be more healthy for me not to have these things. The only way to find out is actually look into it.
That's right. Well, I would say, though, too, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, James, because that's a very specific kind, you know, that's where I think it's we should be concerned about that, like, low-level constant stress. That is wearing, grinding. I mean, that's, ugh. I think everyone knows what that feels like.
Yeah, well, what all of us are feeling right now, all of us that are caring about elections and, you know, being able to get out and vote, this time right now, with we're being inundated with stuff, there is a heightened level of stress happening right now that shouldn't be happening. That doesn't need to be happening.
You add on top of that, for some of us, Melissa, the rise of anti-Semitism and racism and different things like that. And I just, again, got another thing this week. And it's not even, it's just Wednesday. And it, you know, that, so all these things considered, it's all the more reason, I think, to understand what these terms mean, what these words mean. And, and really, that's something that we could do in society overall again. Because I'm starting to wonder if, as adults in our 30s, we need to take like just an English class one more time. It doesn't seem like a lot of people understand what words mean.
I like that idea.
English
actually
is convoluted. I mean,
it sure is.
True. And while that is maybe its most beautiful and creative part of it, it's also something we all kind of agree on as a society. Hey, this term or this word means this.
Right.
Not that you just get to throw these things around. I love the idea of getting Washington out of Madison. What are you talking about? They're all connected. Washington is not in Madison. These metaphors that they loosely try to throw out there, and these kind of things and stuff. That it just—it's not about who you're voting for. I don't. And none of that is my business, and I don't care, to be honest with you.
Right.
I'm not even where I'm going on doesn't matter. It's about, you know, just talking to people the right way, using the words like the way we all grew up and knew them as.
Yes.
These terms and stuff.
And I'm speaking truthfully.
Yeah.
Oh boy. That's a big one.
Yeah. Well, that one. Let's be honest. Let's be fair about that one. That the politics have never been great about that.
That's very true.
It's gotten much worse. That is for sure. It's gotten almost emboldened now.
Yeah.
Now it's almost a badge they wear, and it's everybody, almost everybody.
Yeah.
I should say.
Yeah.
That does that kind of thing. Speaking of words, in a little bit, we're going to get into Collins Dictionary named their word of the year.
Ooh, cool.
Got that coming up. And we got the Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday coming up.
That'll
be
words
in the 8
today.
O'clock hour. Yes.
So many words.
It's a wordy Wednesday.
Oh, man. Why'd you do this to us?
I'm going to give these guys a break. We're going to go to Melissa's news.
I'm going to go eat pie.
Yeah, go ahead. It's comfort in your pie.
Yay, we'll be back with more. Go, Melissa.
We'll be back with more on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Mornings on WFHR. Serious comedy starts your day. Seth, Melissa, and James here with you. We hope you're having a good one out there, everybody. I wanted to get into this one, but I have the World Series on my brain now. I really want to talk about that. But
sorry, Melissa.
We're not gonna. We'll move on. The best cities in the U.S., everybody. The best cities in the U.S. for dragons.
What? Huh? What?
Dragons? Yeah,
for
dragons?
For dragons, yes, for dragons.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
If you've ever watched Game of Thrones or something, like, you know, any movie with dragons in it, basically, or any TV show, and thought into, you know, and dreamed of being a dragon or something, and dreamed of having a dragon or being a dragon in today's world, and gone as far as to consider which U.S. city you'd settle down in with your little dragon family. I don't know what they call baby dragons. Terrifying? I don't know.
I would be terrified if I came across one.
Someone actually put together a ranking of the top U.S. cities to be a dragon.
Wow.
Considering things like how dragons would favor areas of high elevation.
Gotcha.
Cities with higher population density. Fewer
food supply.
Fewer physical active people. tons of cattle per capita. And more homes without basements for people to hide in. Darn human beings always hiding on us, dragons. Everybody, to do a nice fun exercise here. Imagine yourself as a dragon, okay? And not don't start singing Radioactive and Imagine Dragons or anything like that.
Very good.
That was a reach.
That was a reach.
So think about this through the eyes of a dragon. Do that with us. Let's have some fun with this. They'd avoid areas with too many fire departments and military bases because they'd stop them from wreaking havoc, which is not cool, but they'd love places where they could hoard treasures with plenty of pawn shops and jewelry stores. As Lord of the Rings has taught us, dragons covet. Dragons are it's never enough. So dragons, turns out, are in the top 1%, apparently.
Apparently.
Oh, wait, we already have dragons.
We already have dragons.
Oh, my gosh. They've been among us all this time.
Yeah, and they're all over. They don't have this one place they've... Finally, dragons would want to go where they are most adored, so areas of the U.S. that search for information on dragons more often than others. They really put some legwork into this.
They did. Do dragons really care about what people think of them, though? Being them adored, I don't think dragons really care.
If I'm a dragon, the last thing I'm worried about is what my food thinks of me. I can't remember the last time I picked up a hamburger. Like, are we cool? Are we... Are we all right? You know, you and me? I mean, how you been, by the way?
I would love to see that, though. Someone talking to his hamburger. That'd be funny.
Oh, give it time. That's probably how I go out. Somebody finds me at a Burger King talking about a Whopper.
Like, get the men in the white coats.
No, because you get it, Whopper. You understand me. But where are we going, guys? Where are we?
I'm sorry, James. That was a impossible Whopper. So now you've ticked off the entire plant kingdom.
In the end, the best places to be a dragon is Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Really?
Sorry, Albuquerque. Sorry. Followed by Las Vegas. Oh, I didn't think of that. Yeah, that fits.
Yeah.
Provo, Utah. Boise, Idaho. Honolulu. El Paso, Texas. Denver. Ogden, Utah, San Francisco, and Colorado Springs.
Wait, how did San Francisco get in there?
I think they just threw that in there.
Not a lot of basements there, apparently.
Tell you that a lot of rich people over there are going to be some more. That's fancy dining if you're a dragon. We haven't gone out to eat in a long time. Let's go to San Fran. We're going to San Francisco,
Ritzy
honey.
Ritzy dinner tonight.
Oh, I know what it is. All the dragons that just want to eat vegans.
Oh, that's
go to San Francisco because that's where they are. There, that's a little healthier.
It's their granola. Pasture fed. I don't know if that's worse or that I called them granola. I don't know.
You know this study was done by guys who or women, guys and girls who do video gaming, right?
Yes,
probably. Yes,
absolutely. Sounds like a study done by gamers.
100%. You're so right about that. I didn't think of it, but you're so right. So the other thing here, they're all out west, most of those places. In fact, all of them, yes, are all out west. And the worst places to be a dragon are east of the Mississippi.
Makes sense.
The number one worst place is Indianapolis.
Indianapolis?
Just out of nowhere. Just Indianapolis.
Indianapolis. You've been warned.
Followed by Philadelphia, Columbia, South Carolina, Wilmington, North Carolina, and Augusta, Georgia. Okay.
Do they have a dragon problem down south?
Sounds like we're safe from dragons.
Yeah. I mean, the Midwest, it is really cold here. That's not going to go over very well for them.
Well, unless they're ice dragons.
I was getting. Oh,
oh yeah, yeah.
Thank you for taking that away from me, Melissa. Yeah. I was going to nerd him. I was like, oh, no, I'm not going to do it. And then you did it. So thank you.
This guy's got me on that one. That's very
true. I'll nerd for you, Seth, if I have.
Geek out.
Yep.
The 12th best city to be a dragon, Minneapolis, Minnesota.
12th best.
Minnesota shows up.
For dragons that like frozen food.
Seeing Milwaukee at 16.
Oh, okay. Yeah. 16. All right.
St. Louis at 17. All right. That's getting this.
I'm guessing Chicago's pretty low on the list.
Madison at 22.
Oh, wow.
Hey.
Madison at 22. All right.
They can get on the Capitol building there in the middle and, you know, do their big reveal. You know, the wings out and stuff. That'd be kind of cool.
That would be kind of cool looking, actually. Yes. I'm already into the 50s and I'm not seeing Chicago. Interesting.
No Chicago.
Now I'm starting to get a little offended. Now I'm starting to be like, come on. Chicago at 78. Now, 78. Now, what's wrong with Chicagoans, dragons?
A lot of tall buildings.
There's a number of reasons.
Your wings.
That's true.
Yeah. It is the...
Close to a big body of water, too. You know, maybe that's something to do with it.
I will say, not that I want the dragons necessarily taking over or anything, but city of big shoulders. Yeah, a lot of things to stand on. A lot of, you know, if I'm a dragon... Everything. Is that?
I think Springfield would be better. There's more open spaces down there in the central part of Illinois.
Very true.
Lots
Very
of
true.
Cows.
Yeah. And lots of cows, true, too. Yeah, that's right.
I'm immediately, like, really, really getting very method about this and really putting myself in the talons of a dragon.
All right.
And enjoying the idea of some of these things.
So you're going to watch How to Train Your Dragon tonight is what I'm hearing?
I should, actually. No. I've never seen that, but my dad, because he, you know, hanging out with my nephews and things like that, he loves those shows. He loves, loves those How to Train Your Dragon movies.
Oh, yes.
And I got to say, just one, I don't know the name or anything like that, but that black dragon in it, one of the coolest looking dragons I've ever seen in my life.
I think it's Shadow or something like that. Yeah, I'm trying to remember. Ebony, I can't remember.
That's a cool looking dragon, though.
Cool looking dragon.
We will take a break. We'll come back, have some more fun here at Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James here. Good morning, all you guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Permacrisis. Permacrisis.
Permacrisis.
That is the word Merriam-Webster chose as their word of the year.
Oh.
Really?
Merriam-Webster... Merriam-Webster doesn't usually reveal the word of the year until the end of November, but Collins Dictionary in the UK just announced theirs. I'm sorry, so it's theirs. Collins Dictionary in the UK's word of the year.
Ah, okay.
And it kind of sums up the last few years. Permacrisis is an extended period of instability and insecurity, especially one resulting from a series of catastrophic events. They say it perfectly captures the sense of jumping from, quote, one unprecedented event to another as we wander bleakly with new horrors might be around the corner.
If anyone has paid any attention to how things are going in the UK right now, that makes complete sense.
It absolutely
that
does. They're
British,
on, what, third prime minister in a year or something like that?
Yep. Yeah, they had a prime minister lasted 6 weeks, and that's
six
it.
6 whole weeks.
Yep. Wow.
Can't imagine, and I actually think that story's been undercovered around the whole world.
Definitely in this country.
Absolutely, And I think you can, you know, we've got a lot on our plate, and we've got a political season ourselves going on here, but you still should be paying attention to world politics.
You should, absolutely.
We trade and export with them. We work with them. We are all connected. Oh, what's going on in another part of the world affects us. It's not a huge butterfly effect to make that happen.
Nope.
But at the same time, I also think that it needs to be said, and I'm saying this as somebody who is friends with many British people.
Right.
This is kind of how they tend to be. Like, I mean, they quite often will look at the negative than the positive, or downplay the positive and heighten up a negative, those kind of things. This is there's a lot of interesting history behind that when you look at the generations that came after World War II and how devastated that country was.
Yep.
The food supply, things like that. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of reasons why that, you know, most English people, they have that dry sense of humor, that dry approach to life and a lot of that. It kept them going. It kept them alive when Not that it wasn't at a time when the whole world was helping the United Kingdom get back on its feet after World War II.
Mm-hmm.
The United Kingdom, in far as I'm concerned, they've got a lot of blood on their hands for a lot of things.
Right.
They also, for me and my people, have quite a bit on our side, too, as far as being there in World War II and taking on the brunt of the Nazis and all those things when without any help. Essentially.
At one point, yes.
So for me, there's always going to be that. That's never going to be lost on me.
And that makes a lot of sense. So,
yeah.
The pandemic and the war in the Ukraine and the two main examples, they are the two main examples they give. Imagine two different scenarios here. One, we have three different presidents in a year. Three different presidents in a year. And on top of that, Canada or Mexico is being invaded. This is kind of just putting yourself in the shoe.
Just to bring it home to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And to think of all the stuff that's happening domestically to them. I mean, they're in a huge energy crisis right now. Mm-hmm. People cannot afford to, with winter coming on, they can't afford heat. I mean, just tons and tons of people. I mean, it's their money is tanking. And it's right now. It's just crazy what's going on over there. It's nuts.
All of this adds up to that word making a lot of sense.
It does.
Choosing that word.
Yeah.
The pandemic and the war and all those things. And then there is this. There are a few more words and terms that made their short list. Quiet quitting, the practice of doing no more work than one is contractually obligated to do.
Quiet quitting? Interesting.
You haven't heard of that?
Yeah. I have not. No, that's the first time I've heard it.
Grow up and quit your job and start something else.
Don't just sneak out the back door.
For all of us,
they're not even doing that.
No.
They're just doing the bare minimum.
Oh, bare minimum.
Fired. I see what you mean.
Basically, trying to get fired. They're no better than that person. That person that's dating somebody and they want to get out of the relationship, but they're not enough of a human being to do it. So they like do different things to try to make the person break up with them or something. It's cowardly. I'm sorry.
Every movie in the 90s.
Yes, exactly, exactly, Seth. Yes. This is one of the sillier terms I've ever heard of in my life.
Yeah, that's kind of funny.
Splooting, the act of lying flat on the stomach with the legs stretched out. It's what squirrels and other animals do during the heat themselves.
I remember when we did the story about the squirrel that was splooting, and everyone learned about it. And I was like, wow, that's a great word, splooting.
It's a good one. Again, you can look up more of these at collinsdictionary.com. Seth, we got the Great Green Bay giveaway going on. I want you to tell people about this fun thing.
Why don't we do that? New Year's Day Green Bay giveaway is going on right now, everybody. This is your chance to win two tickets to the January 1st game between the Packers and the Vikings. These are club tickets. Yeah, you heard that right. At Lambeau Field. I mean, where else would you want to be on January 1st?
Yeah.
For you, I know where I'm going to be. I don't know about you guys. listeners can register going to Dropbox locations to get your chance to win. One name will be drawn from each location. Those individuals will receive a $50 gift card from that business and then will become qualifiers for the grand prize. Right now, we've got locations at Hoozles at the Lakes in Rome, La Taqueria and Jennings here in Rapids, and then in Nakusa, the Piggly Wiggly. Registration will go through November 28th, and the winner will be announced November 30th. So go ahead, get in it, get your registrations in there. One registration per person per location. Thank you very much.
It's a fun one. This is going to be a blast to be able to send somebody to this game. It's going to be really fun. And we'd love to have more boxes out there. We'd like to have more sponsors. If you're curious, if you're interested in getting in on this, give us a call 9 to 5. At 424-1300, that's 424-1300.
The deadline is tomorrow, by the way, November 3rd. So if you want to get a box, get it in now. Make your call.
Mm-hmm.
Not the time to sit on the sidelines. Get in the game with this one.
Very good. Very good.
Sports metaphor.
you've been around James enough now.
I'm picking up on him.
I'm so sorry, Melissa. I'm so sorry. We'll take a break. In the 8 o'clock hour, we'll kick things off with 15 things you probably shouldn't brag about. We will also have Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club and our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday from our friends at Quality Plus Printing, all coming up right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.